beginning of the first verse, Revelation chapter 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Well, I was just thinking particularly of these first three of the seven churches. Perhaps most of us know that in the letters that are written here to the seven churches in Asia Minor, that we have a prophetic outline of the church's history, right from the days of the apostles until the Lord comes. And in these seven churches, we have them outlined prophetically, I say, and we can see the failure in the beginning, leaving their first love, coming right down to the last condition, lukewarmness, indifference, and the Lord himself on the outside. But I was thinking particularly of these first three, not so much in the thought of its prophetic aspect, but in the way that we might apply it to our own hearts. Because, you know, it's always easy for us to speak of how these things apply to others and forget the application to ourselves. And I believe we can see, if we carefully look at these letters to these first three churches especially, how our hearts tend to grow cold, and how the Lord, in his own way, seeks to draw us back, perhaps through affliction and trial.
And then, too, how he would encourage us, even in times when things are broken down and in ruin, he would encourage us just to go on for him and to know that he takes notice of any faithfulness that there is. And so I speak of it more particularly in its personal aspect, and I believe that in the first three churches here, we have a certain order brought before us, and that would apply to the testimony gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus. That is, we think of the freshness, the happiness that there was when God first raised up a testimony gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then how quickly there was that tendency which we find in all our hearts to leave the freshness of first love. Then God allowed testings and trials to come in among the saints. Perhaps we could say even the many divisions and things that came in were testing us as to whether we really valued the place and privilege of being gathered to his name. And then we can see in Pergamos the church and the world coming together. And the great thought in connection with Pergamos is that there would be faithfulness in the midst of such a state of things and valuing the Lord's approval. And so, the Lord addresses himself in a different way to each one of the churches, each one of the seven, as a matter of fact. But seeing we're speaking of these first three, we'll notice that the Lord, in addressing himself to them, he speaks to them each in a different way. Because he addressed himself to them according to the state of things that existed. And so the Lord knows the state of things in which we are called upon to overcome. Those who live in Greenville face a different situation, perhaps, than those who live in St. Louis or Ottawa. Each one of us have to face different situations in life. And the Lord knows all about these things that we have to meet. He knows all about the difficulties and problems connected with each personal life and each gathering. And so, in addressing himself to these assemblies in a different way, we can see how he entered into all that they were going through and encouraged them to go on in faithfulness, as well as perhaps seeking to bring before them those things which ought to have exercised them. Then we also find in each one of the churches that there was a special word to the overcomer. Special according to the state of things that was to be overcome. And we all know how easy it is to be overcome instead of overcoming. That is, to overcome means to go up over, doesn't it? But it's very easy to allow the things to get over us and we're underneath. And so the word here is to the overcomer. That is, no matter what the state of things may be, in Christendom at large, in our homes or in the assembly, the Lord can always enable us to be above it in our own souls and to live to please him. And so these words spoken to each assembly are special words of encouragement because of the conditions in these assemblies. Now it's a very striking thing that Ephesus is the first one mentioned, and we know the epistle to the Ephesians, but that's of course at Ephesus. It was the assembly that perhaps received the very highest truth. Why, in that epistle we see the church seated in heavenly places in Christ. We see the unfolding of the most precious truth that the church is the body of Christ, and all those things that are so dear to us, especially as gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus. And so we can see how it would have a special application to ourselves, because I believe we could safely say that there is no company on earth so responsible as those gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus. For it says, unto whom much is given, of the same shall much be required. And if God has given much to us, then it ought to stir our hearts to more affection, more devotedness,
more earnest desire to please Him, and more responsibility if we're unfaithful. So here, this first one was addressed to Ephesus, that assembly that was so blessed. And it says, "These things hath He that holdeth the seven stars in His right hand." Well, in the end of the first chapter, we find that these seven stars were the angels of the seven churches. Now, when it speaks of the angels of the churches, the word angel in Scripture is representative. And so, when it says the angel of the church, it means that in each assembly there are those who are looked upon as being responsible before God. It's a very serious thing to be in a position of responsibility among God's people. And so each letter is addressed to the angel of the church. And then in the end, it says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." That is, none of us are exempt from responsibility, but some of us are more responsible than others, because we have been entrusted with more, and perhaps we have taken certain responsibilities, and God holds us responsible in this way. And so, the letters are addressed, first of all, to the angel of the church. But here it says that the Lord holds those in His right hand. Well, this is the proper condition that there should be. That is, all those who seek to take a place of responsibility ought to remember that we're not to be acting for our own personal glory, or we're not to think of ourselves or what people say or think of us, but we ought to act as being in His hand. What a responsibility. Even if I might speak of myself tonight, what a responsibility to stand up here before